This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Lopez wants it away.
And it's a deep to left center. Andrew Jones on the run. This one has a chance. Home run! Mike Piazza and the Mets lead 3-2. Bartolo has done it! The impossible has happened! This is one of the great moments in the history of baseball.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mets fans of all ages, here is your host, Nick Durst.
Hello, Mets fans, and welcome back to another edition of Believe in the Mets right here on the Believe Podcast Network or on the awesome YouTube channel. Make sure if you're listening on audio, 5 stars, just like Booker T, five time, and leave a nice review as well. It means a lot if you're doing that for us here. And of course, YouTube, like and subscribe so you never, ever, ever miss an episode. Jumping on here. And once again, what I got to talk about, the Mets losing. They just can't seem to find a way to win. And I think there's a few reasons as to why this is the case. And I've been saying it for a while now that, you know, things got to change. I have a special guest on with me today to break it all down in a moment. But I do want to tell you first that Bet Online loves Believe in the Mets, okay? A big supporter of our show, so you could support them as well as they support you in your wallet. Bet Online is your number one source for NBA and NHL playoffs this season. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to their online casino and get in the game of blackjack and poker. Unwind with one of their over 150 slots games. Head to the website today to get in the action. Go bet on the Mets. You bet on them to lose probably, and you're going to win most of the time right now. Don't forget to use the promo code BELIEVE for 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here, and the Mets, they need to get things started right now. They got to get the offense going. Joining me now to discuss this, Sports Illustrated's very own Mr. Pat Ragazzo. Pat, how are you doing today? Beautiful day out there, and the day might get ruined again by potentially the Mets having another bad start. But I was looking forward to seeing them taking on Carlos Carrasco, but he's scratched. So you know what that means. The Mets never do well when there's a late addition to the starting rotation to pitch against them. I don't know what kind of lineup they're going to throw out there tonight. Right now, the lineup needs to be shaken up. We'll talk about that. But let's talk about Francisco Lindor first, Pat. He misses winning. Well, you know what? So do the Mets fans. They miss winning too. And Lindor, he's taking shots at the Mets, saying he misses winning. playing in Cleveland. What was your whole take on that, your whole read?
I don't think he meant anything by it. Obviously, there was more winning that went on during his time in Cleveland. They went to a World Series. They were in the playoffs a couple of times. He had that big grand slam against the Yankees in the ALDS in 2017. But I see why some people have taken it. And I haven't looked at what the fans have been saying about it because I already kind of know that some of them probably took it the wrong way.
Yeah.
I just know Francisco Lindor is not a guy to be petty. He's not a guy to take shots at his own team. It just doesn't make sense. He wants to win with the Mets. So he's being honest. Like, they haven't – they made the playoffs once. They lost in a wild card series, best of three, and their only good season since he's been here. What I would add to his comments are – and he's been accountable. He has been accountable since he got here. This is his fourth season with the Mets. His level of play is a big reason why the Mets haven't done anything, because when you dish out $341 million to a player, he's supposed to be your superstar and your best player and carry the team at times, and he just hasn't been able to do that. He's been more of like a good star, an all-star, Gold Glove caliber on defense, and he's had some good offensive seasons with the Mets, usually starts slow. And, he hasn't really been that major impact bat that his contract would say that he is. So, or even that he was in Cleveland. He had some great seasons in Cleveland with probably some better lineups, I'm sure. So, yeah, so it makes me think, like, even as Alonso is going to be a free agent after this year, like, yes, Alonso has more home runs and more RBIs than anyone since he broke into the league in 2019. Yes, Lindor is an all-star caliber shortstop. Alonso's an all-star first baseman. But the Mets need some more superstar power in their lineup. And even J.D. Martinez, who had an amazing year for the Dodgers last year in a star-studded lineup, he's hitting well for the Mets, but it's not enough of an impact, clearly. They need big-name superstars like a Juan Soto, like a Nolan Arenado, and I think Steve Cohen probably realizes that. And at the same time, like, they're going to have money coming off the books, like, they can spend Corbin Burns. And, yeah. You know, there's going to be other guys out there. You know, it's a pretty good free agent class, I think, coming up. And they'd have to trade for Arenado, obviously, and he's expensive, but he's a superstar. And I've actually linked him as, you know, speculating, but a good fit for the Yankees to upgrade at third base at the deadline. Like, this is the year the Yankees have a pretty good shot to win the World Series this year. They're rolling right now, and their lineup looks like murderers row. So why not?
One thing the Mets could offer to get an Arenado trade is going to be, you know, the whole thing with the salary. So that's something that you take on the whole salary, but it's going to be a star-studded all-star class of free agency. But with the way the team's playing right now, obviously money's great, but how could the Mets incentivize players to come to Queens? Right now you're looking at a young core that is not performing very well outside of Francisco Alvarez. So Beatty's not looking good. Vientos, they don't really give much opportunity here. Lindor is here. He misses winning. I miss having a shortstop batting over 200. So we're missing that. And yeah, Juan Soto would be great, Pat, but I don't think if you replace Pete Alonso with Juan Soto that all of a sudden this team's a playoff team. I think you need both of them to make any sort of impact in the NL East.
I see what you're saying, but if they get Juan Soto and they could get Alonso for a little more, I guess, than what they offered him, the $158 million across 7 years, which, as I reported in September, the Mets were kind of in the same neighborhood as Alonso on money, based off what Matt Olson and
– and I want to give you props, because you said – you reported last summer they were talking to Alonso, and you were all over the fact that Epler was taking some calls about Alonso, and then it came out today, your colleague Andy Martino said that, you know, in the time that Epler and Stearns really were working together for a week, Epler said, should we start looking to shop Alonso? And you were over that, but – Stearns said no. And I think Stearns, you know, he was smart, because that would have been a rough PR move. But now, like, Alonso, with the way the market's been moving the last few years, he could be looking at, he might have to settle for a Cody Bellinger type of deal where 2 years plus the opt out, or depending on how the rest of the season goes. But I'll be very interested to see, you know, what he gets in the free agency. I think his numbers will still be there at the end of the season. I just don't know what team he's going to be on by the end of the season.
Yeah, I mean, if the team is bad and Alonso's putting up numbers, money talks, right? And Pete's heart's in New York, and like, yeah, he might see another side. Oh, I can win in a different city, and there's more out there and stuff, and maybe changes his mind. But money talks at the end of the day if the Mets meet his number and his price. And I reported, Nick, actually in September that the Mets and Alonso, like I was alluding to, Mets offered less than the 9 to 10 years that Alonso wanted. And honestly, and Billy Epler, who's no longer with the team, released a statement that day saying that that was inaccurate. But Joel Sherman just reported that they offered him 7 years for $150 million. So that kind of confirms my report from September that they tried to say it was not true. It was true because Alonso,
they call the website Inside the Mets for Inside the Mets for a reason, because you got the insider of the Mets right here, Power Gaza.
I got it. Yeah, I got it from a pretty good place. That's why I reported it. So it wasn't, I'm not going to get into it, but yes, the truth came out in the end that, yeah, the Mets offered him a deal and he doesn't want 7 years. He wants more than that. And they're realistic. Like a player like him, unless he's still raking and is a DH, he's not going to be a first baseman like for the second half of that deal. If they gave him 9 to 10 years or at least the last three, four years, he's not going to be a first baseman anymore. He's an average.
Yeah, because the problem is if you sign him to a long-term deal with Lindor, who's already going downhill, then you're going to have all these DHs in 8 years. Lindor's not going to be able to play shortstop at 38. He said, I forget who asked at the press conference, you know, how do you think you're going to be doing when you're 38, 39 years old? He said, I'm going to be one bad mother effer. No, you're just bad at playing. Like you're not going to be, he's not going to be good at that age that you can justify playing him at shortstop.
Derek Jeter played shortstop until he was what, 38 when he retired.
Yeah, and he was not good at the end of his career.
He was not good, but he was serviceable. And Lindor is a better defensive shortstop than Jeter ever was, even in his prime. So like Lindor might be okay as a shortstop. He might be able to stay as a shortstop. He's just not going to be a Gold Glove caliber. And honestly, he hasn't even won a Gold Glove. He probably has deserved one last year and in recent years with the Mets. He's not won one with the Mets. And I've talked to certain scouts and talent evaluators who have said part of the reason he probably isn't a Gold Glove is because Pete Alonso's not bad. He's not a liability at first, but he's not a Gold Glove caliber first baseman. Like a Cody Bellinger, who you mentioned, or Anthony Rizzo. Like Rizzo was not right last year, but he's still good defensively. Like he helped Volpe probably get the Gold Glove with his picks at first. And if Lindor had a Gold Glove caliber first baseman or someone above average, and Alonso's average, again, he's not a liability. He does make some good plays. Lindor probably would have at least one Gold Glove with the Mets because he is a Gold Glove caliber shortstop.
We'll see what happens as far as the trade deadline goes. We're still a bit of bits away, so I really can't speculate at all. I know Steve Cohen was kind of like, got to wait till the trade deadline. People took it the wrong way, but I mean, really, there's nothing the team could do between now and the trade deadline to improve or sell off. And I'm getting the sense that, Pat, like right now, the Mets are playing so bad. What are they, a half game out of the third wild card spot? My sense, and you tell me if I'm wrong here, is that if they get to the trade deadline and they're in the same position where they're, you know, right there for the third wild card, I think they'd still be more likely to sell than they would be to add to the team, just being realistic with what would happen in the playoffs if they snuck in.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, they're not, they said this was a transition year from the start. And you know what? This is a transition year. Like they're not competing for a World Series, even if they made moves at the trade deadline. They're not going to mortgage the future. If they can make some responsible moves that doesn't hurt their future, then yeah, they'll do it if they're in it. But they're 5 games under .500, and we're approaching Memorial Day weekend, and this team just looks like last year, where they were had a good, pretty good April, beat some good teams in some series like the Dodgers, the Braves. Like the Mets did that last year too. I was in LA with the Mets last year and this year, and they won 2 out of 3 in both series. Yeah. So, yeah, it just shows like it's a long way to go. But at the same time, like when the pitching's right, the hitting's not right. When the hitting's right, the pitching's not right. Like those are signs of a bad team. We saw the 07 collapse with the Mets. They had the 7-game lead with 17 to go. That was the story. They were a bad team in the last 2 weeks.
And just look at last night. You can't ask for more from Tyler McGill than, he had a great start coming off the injury list. 3 runs. Like the Mets should be, they should leave the game like at least with a no decision. I thought he pitched well. They needed that stability there. Again, still not having anybody go beyond 5 innings, which is driving me crazy. I think that's an intentional thing, but the bullpen's going to get burned out eventually. The thing I hope that the Mets do not do, if they are sellers, I hope they don't trade Reed Garrett. This guy needs to be part of the equation for a long time. They'll definitely get calls on Garrett, and I'm sure they would probably get some calls on Edwin Diaz as well. Even though he's struggling, they got calls on him in 2019. His struggles here, I'm not really that surprised. He's coming off a major, major surgery. So anyone who thought he was going to be the same Diaz of 2022 was greatly mistaken. I don't know if the struggles are going to end. I'm sure he's going to get in the game tonight or tomorrow, no matter what, at some point, to see what happens. But the bright side of this, I think, is Reed Garrett's emergence as the best reliever in baseball, the most strikeouts in all of baseball for the relievers, a great ERA. So if you're going to leave Diaz out of the closer role, I want to see Reed Garrett closing the game out. I don't want to see Adam Ottavino in there to potentially blow the game. What do you think they're going to do with the closer situation for like the next week and then a month from now?
Well, I said it with our friend Joe Masseri on Sunday night on Picks 11. I said, play it slow, both sides. Like, he's coming off a patellar tear. It's not, it holds together all the major ligaments of the knee. It's not a regular ligament tear. I've seen a lot of, both of us have seen a lot of superstar athletes, even in different sports, not come back from that injury. Victor Cruz tore it in 2014, never was the same. Baron Davis was at towards the end of his career, but he was an important role player off the bench for the Knicks on a playoff team.
Baron Davis,
he was a good dunker. He was known for his dunks when he was a star. And then he was still a good, solid player later in his career for the Knicks, but he tore his patellar and it was over. The lights went out after. So Diaz, it's his driving leg. He's a guy who's thrown 102 miles per hour, great secondary stuff, hard slider, great command. Like, when we saw him, his command was the reason, and he was giving up a lot of homers too. His command was the sole reason that he struggled so much in New York in his first year in 2019. Maybe the pressures of New York as well, but it was command. Because he's proven he can handle the pressure here. Yeah. And he's one of the best talents I've ever seen at the closer spot ever. And he's a generational talent. But the thing is, you don't know if he's even going to be serviceable again. But you just have to play it slow, take your time, ease him in. It's a major, major injury. And like, he wanted to pitch. He's such a competitor. Like, the Mets were lousy last year. There's no sugarcoating it. They weren't going anywhere. They weren't making the playoffs. Like, if they were making the playoffs, he says he would have came back in the end of September, but it's obvious at this point that he would not have been effective. Right. So it's more than a year-long injury, clearly. So it could be a forever injury, or it could be a 1 year, a 2 year. It's already over a year. He tore it in March of last year. We're in almost in June. So that's 15 months that he's not himself since that major.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to just miraculously be himself right now, middle of the season. If Epler was still around, I'm sure he wouldn't hesitate to put Edwin Diaz on the injury list right now. But Billy Epler, I think the move of his tenure as a Met GM has to be claiming Reed Garrett off waivers last year. I mean, who saw this coming? And do we give all the credit to Jeremy Hefner, Pat? What do the Mets think about how they all of a sudden unearthed this gem in Reed Garrett? And do you think it's legit? Is it going to last the season like this?
I think the Mets pitching staff struggles with walks. Like, I think Reed Garrett's like the lone bright spot of the Mets so far this season. I mean, what other thing can you hang your hat on? Alvarez is hurt. Senga hasn't pitched, just had another setback.
By the way, I think Senga's not pitching this year. The way it's going, this is like Jacob DeGrom all over again. Oh, another setback. I don't think we're definitely not seeing Senga before after the All-Star break at this point. But I don't think at that point it might be done. They'll just say, oh, we'll keep him out.
A couple more setbacks, and yeah, you might be right. So if the timeline continues to consistently get pushed back, yeah, you're right. They're not going to, in a year, they're not going anywhere. Why would they bring him back? So he has three more years on his deal. He's not that young. And he's had injuries. He was injury prone. The scouts were saying he was injury prone, and that was the risk when the Mets signed him. And that's why he only got 5 years, $75 million. And we saw when he was healthy, he was runner up for rookie of the year. He was really good last year. But the other thing too was, like, realistically, he's probably not an ace. And again, if you can't rely on his health, he can't be relied on as an ace. So I think the Mets should go after Corbin Burnes in free agency. Get your true ace. You have Christian Scott, who's shown some promise. Hopefully, they're hoping he keeps that up. On top of that, they're hoping for a healthy Senga in 2025 when they're actually trying to do something. And that's a pretty good 1-3. And then the Mets they're loaded with starting pitching talent in the upper levels of the minor leagues. So you hope at least one or two more guys develop. Jose Buto, besides the walks, Jose Buto has been pretty, he's shown a lot of promise. And again, I know a scout who I've spoken to who he's highly esteemed around the league and within his organization. And he watched Buto from low levels of the minor leagues and said, this guy has it. And not everyone agreed. Most people didn't agree. And he does. He's shown he can pitch at this level. He just needs to cut down on walks.
don't know. We'll see what happens with Buddha, because the walks is a killer. I mean, you can't. Pitchers are not going to succeed in the majors if they keep walking. Yeah. And the Mets have walked the most players. Amid Medina, a loyal listener, comments, can't have both Pete and Soto. They're bad defensive players for GH as well. Soto's looking at a 12, 13-year deal. Pete's going to be like 7 years max. So I think it will work for both of them.
Hold on. Soto, all right, maybe he's not like a gold glove right fielder, but I wouldn't say he's a bad outfielder. And he's got probably the strongest arm in the game. So, like, you pay for it. And he's going – a player like him will age well. That's why he's going – he's only 25. So you sign him to a 10-year deal. He's 35 by the end. Like, look at A-Rod. Look at all these guys. Garrett Cole, like, they signed deals where they're going to be 40 or like at the end of their deal. Like, Lindor was 20. This was, all right, 4 years ago, he signed his 10-year extension on top of 21. So from 2022, he was, how old is he now?
He's like 31, 32.
Oh, he's like 30. I think he's 2 years older than me.
Okay.
Hold on. 1 second.
So he's going to be till 30, he's 38, 39 of the contract ends. So, yeah.
Yes. So, like I'm saying, Soto is 25. This is like when A-Rod was young and Scott Boras got him.
And the A-Rod contract worked out great for the Yankees and the Texas Rangers.
A-Rod was an MVP twice with the Yankees and was a big part of their World Series title in 2009. So, you know what? Yeah. It didn't end well. Like, most breakups don't end well, right? So it was worth it in the end. You know what I mean?
I think they could have Pete and Soto together. I think it would work because
the Nationals signed Corbin Burns to a huge contract and the Yankees almost did, and he picked the Nationals. He was a big reason they won the 2019 World Series. You'd take it. You know what I mean? You'd take it. So even if Strasburg too, like, same thing. They regret not resigning.
You got to win a World Series.
They regret not signing Bryce Harper long term, I'm sure. Because if they had Bryce Harper and Juan Soto, that rebuild would be a lot quicker. They wouldn't. They probably never would have rebuilt.
So the Yankees regret not getting Bryce Harper either.
And Corey Seager and Manny Machado. Like, yeah, well, everyone has regrets.
Everyone has regrets all around.
Reasons and regrets. Reasons to not make the move, and then regrets afterwards that your reasons were wrong.
I'm worried that next year, if Harper's healthy, he goes to the outfield, the Phillies might sign Pete Alonso. I mean, he'd be a good fit there in that small stadium.
If the Yankees lose Rizzo, Pete Alonso's a good fit, minus the fact that you're downgrading defensively from Rizzo. Rizzo's
upgrading offensively. So
yeah, and you're getting younger. Rizzo's no spring chicken. He's not old, but he's like in his mid-30s now. So
right. He's
been around a long time. So you just look at it. Freddie Freeman, Matt Olson. Freddie Freeman is probably the best first baseman in the league.
By the way, everyone's killing Pete Alonso. He's having a better year than Matt Olson right now.
I know, but Olson's a stud. He's a stud, and he's better defensively. And he's a lefty.
Yeah. But, winning cures all because when Harper's numbers aren't that great either. But when you're winning, nobody's complaining. When you're the Mets and you can't win, everyone's going to complain about the players.
Guess what, Nick? It's May 21st. We have 4 months left of the regular season plus a postseason. The Braves are the Braves. They're going to be either winning the East or winning a wild card and being in the playoffs. Honestly, probably better for them to win a wild card and be underdogs because maybe they go on a run like 2021. But Matt Olson struggling through the first 2 months of the season versus Pete Alonso, who's hitting a little better recently, but he's not been himself the first 2 months with all these distractions, the contract in the Mets lineup versus the Braves lineup. Who do you have more hope for that they're going to turn it around and finish with good numbers at the end of the season?
Yeah, Olson, because the Mets lineup is – it's Alonso. That's it. It's all the pressure's on Alonso. He's definitely pressing because I think the fact that there's so many and he gets more hate right now because he ends the inning getting out in a strikeout or pop-up. That's because right before him, Lindor got out. So – there's so much pressure on him because Lindor's out. So now it's this two outs. Alonso's got to get it done. So I don't know. Let's say maybe Eric Chavez can get something rolling here. The way the lineup's constructed right now, Pat, it drives me crazy. You have the three hitters with the lowest averages batting 1-2-3. Do you think Mendoza will ever consider dropping Lindor in the lineup? I think not, because I think Lindor's actually running the team. I don't think Mendoza would have it in him to do anything with Lindor like Buck Showalter might, but Lindor's killing them right now, and you can't justify batting him 1-4, in my opinion.
All right, well, they moved him to the leadoff spot Sunday, and he had two hits. So, like, they're not moving him.
Last night he was the Okafor.
So. He's the highest paid player. They're not moving him. He doesn't run the team, but he's got a big voice. And he's got a voice with Cohen. He's got a voice with everybody because he's has a resume. You know what I mean? And he's the highest. He's, like, the highest paid position player, obviously. Highest paid player on the team. They're not moving him to the bottom of the order. It's just not going to happen. And they might move him down a little bit. They're not moving him. Was that what you meant? Like, moving him to, like, fifth?
Yeah, like, I said, out of the top four.
Maybe, possibly. But
I think, and listen, right now you got to get the people who get on base on. Yeah. I want to see Harrison Bader bat first or second. So have Bader up there, you know, Nimmo up there still, Lonzo, JD Martinez, and then Lindor. I think I want to see Bader get more at bats. I want to see him up top of the order. He's hitting.
That's not a bad idea. And Bader stayed healthy because he's been, like, kind of part-time. But you know what? They haven't gotten Tyrone Taylor enough at bats at all. He was hit well when he got playing time, and now he hasn't gotten that much playing time. Like, it's erratic, and, like, his bat is not producing because he's not in there every day. Like, it's hard. So, and we saw the same thing with J.D. Davis. Like, J.D. Davis left the Mets and then started raking for the Giants because he had an everyday role. So, I don't understand that, and I don't understand how they haven't learned from that, but I don't – that's above my pay grade, obviously. You might be onto something with Bader, and you might be onto something with maybe – batting Nimmo second or third. Alonzo, JD Martinez has hit well. They need Alvarez healthy. You don't know if he's going to look healthy when he comes back. Like, he might be back in like a month.
What are you hearing on Alvarez? You think a month? I thought he was going to be out much longer, like into August.
I haven't been. No. Originally, they said 6 to 8 weeks. And that was in April, and late April. So they said possibly June, possibly July. We don't know.
Start rehabbing, though, in June and July.
No, like coming back.
Okay.
So I haven't been with the team since the Braves series. No, since the Philly series at Citi Field. So it's been a week, 8 days, I think, right? Because they were in Philly last week. Okay, so 8 days. So, but I believe Tim Healy, or one of the beat reporters, said that Alvarez is being sent for another strength test, and you know, he's on the right path to be getting into games possibly in a couple weeks. So I guess he's probably not gonna, at this rate, he's not coming back in June, but maybe by the All-Star break, who knows? But again, it's not going to be a rush if they don't turn it around, but it is a huge loss. And then on top of that, Brett Beatty started off hot, and like, he's been really, really, really going through it, like to the point where like he might have to get sent back down. And you just play Vientos at third every day and eat the fact that he's not a great defensive third baseman. If he can be average or serviceable, but the hot corner is so important. Obviously, the corners are so important. Like the middle defense up the middle is super important, but so are your corners. And if Vientos can hit, you can sacrifice the defense a little bit. If they're hitting and scoring runs, it'll probably overshadow the fact that they're giving up a little more runs if he's average or even slightly below average. But if he's abysmal at third, and it's giving up a ton of run, like then they can't do it. But if he's hitting, producing,
Yimid Medina agrees with you in a sense. He says they need to make up the mind, the Mets, Beatty or Vientos, send one down. So, all right, send Beatty down again, let Vientos play third.
I'm saying it's on the verge. I'm saying it's on the verge of him getting sent down. Like they're trying to get.
I think they need to go with one or the other right now. And just give Vientos like 10, 15 starts in a row and see. He wants to bring Acuna up to lead off and play second, make McNeil a utility player. I don't think Acuna's ready yet, Pat. I don't know what you've heard from scouts or people in the organization. He's having a decent year, but there's nothing that makes me think if they call Acuna up right now, he's going to be an all-star, because this is what we thought with Beatty last year. This is what we thought with Vientos last year. Okay, we thought Mauricio's tearing up, call up. They waited on Mauricio to call him up. And that's what's really killing the team this season, not having Ryan Mauricio playing third base. But I think they got to be very patient with Acuna Jr., with Acuna here, Luis Angel Acuna, because you don't want to call him up and then he gets stuck on the bench like Mark Vientos and he doesn't hit and then the conference is ruined. What are you hearing about Acuna? Obviously, he's having a good AAA season, but I don't think they're in any rush to call him up to the majors right now.
He's had some bad slumps this year. Started off bad, got hot for 2 weeks, another slump. When he's hot, they're excited. He can be a kind of an electric player. He doesn't have the power like his brother, but he's electric. He's fast. He's pretty good defensively. He can hit for contact when he's right. I think they just want to take it slow. Again, this is a developmental transition year. They're not going to rush someone to the bigs who isn't ready. Like, even look at the Orioles, like with Jackson Holliday. And they brought him up too soon and he struggled immensely and then sent him down quickly because they don't want to crush his confidence. Like, he's just not ready and they don't need him. They don't need him right now. The Orioles are strong. And the Mets have no reason. They're not going anywhere this year. You know what I mean? Like, they brought up Conforto pretty quickly, but he went to college and he was a first-round.
And they needed him. They were competing.
And they needed him. And he hit well. He hit well. Yeah. So it's different. It's totally different with Acuna. He's young. He didn't go to college, obviously. He's an international signing and Rangers.
He's still learning second base. He never played second base before this season. So
That too.
Defense is huge. You know, starting is all about defense. So you better.
I've asked around. When Acuna was hot, I was in LA with the Mets for the Dodgers series. And I asked, I said, around that time, I think. I don't know if it was in LA, maybe a little after. And I said, is he a possibility to get called up? I asked around to my people. And they're excited about him, like I said, but they don't think it's going to happen soon because he needs to develop fully before they call him up.
Yeah, and that's the key. Let him develop before because everyone said Vientos is so ready, Beatty's so ready. They weren't ready. So everyone wants to get rid of McNeil and trade him right now. Mets fans, you can't – every time a player's bad, you can't say trade him. The value is at their all-time low, and if he's being so bad that you want to get rid of him, who's going to want him? McNeil, I think, would be a valuable guy for a team in a pennant race, but you don't trade somebody when they're at their worst. And I think David Stearns is smart enough, Pat, to make sure that when he is trading like a Luis Severino or a Sean Manaea, he's going to maximize the value for them.
That's true. So that's what they're going to do. They're going to sell off. They might trade Pete Alonso if it makes sense. If it's an offer they can't refuse, because you still could try and re-sign him after this year. I think the probability of re-signing him goes down if they trade him. But in a season where they're not going anywhere, his contract's about to expire, they probably will trade him. You're right. So it just depends on how high his value is. And just make sure like that they're on the same page with him, that they're hoping to – If they're smart about this, and I feel like they're going to try to be, but you never know because people leak things and things get reported. Like rumors start, like Alonso will be upset, I'm sure, if he finds out through the media or on Twitter that they're shopping him around or that they're receiving calls about him. Like they need to do what they can to keep him in the loop so that there's no bad blood when he does become a free agent.
That's what I think. You trade him, I think he's going to be so upset he won't even consider coming back to the Mets. Yeah.
Well, no, if they keep him on the same page and tell him this is the best for the future and we're going to put our best foot forward to re-sign you and give you what you want to keep you here as a Met for life, minus the half a season, not even half a season hiatus that you weren't with us because we traded you.
Very familiar, like when I traded him to the A's.
But a little different since he's a franchise cornerstone, Alonso. So like they're selling him on the fact of we will be set up for you're our future. If we re-sign you, you're our future for the next decade, close to a decade. We're setting you up better so that you're going
to. You also got to be concerned, like if he goes to the Orioles and they win the World Series and they have a new ownership group and maybe he wants to stay there, right? So you got that's something else to consider. Last I want to touch upon, Pat, since you know the guy, you've seen him out there, Jett Williams. He's really struggled this year in the minor leagues. I think he's hurt now, but he's out there in Double A. Everyone thought, oh, Jett Williams, he's great, the future center fielder. Why is it that people think like you could take a shortstop, throw him in center field, and automatically he's going to be great? These Mets prospects, maybe Drew Gilbert aside, I think they're still like a year and a half, 2 years away from making an impact in the majors. So what is that? What could the roster look like next year if they do actually clean house? Because if they trade everybody, they're going to have to sign 6-7 guys for offense.
It doesn't matter because everyone should be on limits. The only players that are going to be off limits are Nimmo, Lindor, because you can't move his deal. Diaz, because even if Diaz doesn't turn it around, his value is not good for a trade. If he does turn it around, Alvarez, he's your future. You don't want to get rid of him. Alvarez is untouchable. Besides those four, no Reed one Garrett? Else. Reed Garrett. Okay, Reed Garrett's untouchable. Probably.
I think they would trade Reed Garrett though.
No, because he's under cheap. He's under cheap control, I think, for a number of years. They're not going to trade him.
Yeah, but I think
five players on the roster.
Quintana could be on the move. Manaea for sure. Severino definitely.
Yeah, prime candidates. These cheap deals and these veteran pitchers, like, yeah, it's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer.
How about the signing of Fujinama, who is on the injured list now?
I never expected anything from him. His career ERA was like 20.
Him and Tonkin. Oof.
Again, no expectations. The guy.
Have you heard if they're going to bring Johan Ramirez back when he gets DFA'd so they can trade him again for more cash?
Oh my gosh, no. And you know what? You know what? I was talking about this over the weekend with some people about Chris Matt. There's a solid reliever on the Dodgers. I don't know why I'm blanking on his name, his first name, but let me try and pull it up. Nabil Chris Matt. He's a long reliever. He doesn't throw hard. He relies on an 82 mile per hour changeup. He's a 91 mile per hour four seam fastball. Those are like his two main pitches. He starts a little bit in the minors, but that's not a starting pitcher. If you throw with that low velocity, it's not. And you rely on a changeup, you're not a starting pitcher. You're a reliever. He's a long reliever. He had a good year for the 2022 Padres, who went to the ALCS or NLCS, I should say. And he was left off the playoff roster because they didn't need a long reliever. They had, he had a 2.94 ERA and 67.1 innings in 2022. But they said, thanks for helping us this season, but we don't need you in the playoffs because we have starters in the bullpen now giving us life. So the Dodgers have DFA'd him like maybe they just DFA'd him last week, but because he's out of options. Like two or three times maybe since spring training, and nobody's picking him up. So I've been asking around, and the speculation is I haven't been able to confirm it, but it's pretty obvious that he doesn't want to leave the Dodgers because they are a team that turns around pitchers who struggled. He struggled last year in the minor leagues. He struggled in AAA and across a full season and like had a little bit in the bigs, but like struggled too. So like he's thinking the Dodgers will fix him. He has a 2.57 ERA in mop-up duty and like five appearances in the bigs this year with the Dodgers. So like he thinks that there will be opportunities, obviously. He wants to stay in the organization where they're giving him the best chance to succeed. They figured it out, his usage. So that's the reason why. Otherwise, this guy easily would be picked up because you don't think the Mets or Yankees specifically and a number of other teams could use him in the back of their pen besides or in the, you know, the not that you're high leverage guys, but like they could use him in their pen over guys like Michael Tonkin and Johan Ramirez and Sean Reed Foley and stuff like that. Like, yes, they could. So there's a reason why.
It was so funny a few weeks ago when that they bring Foley in with the bases loaded and everyone knew he was going to give a run and he walks somebody and he's fired up. He gets next out. I want the Mets to call Matt Festa, the New York guy, bring him back, bring him out to the majors. Let's see what he can do. He's pretty solid with the Mariners in the past, but Pat, are we coming to the end of the Adrian Hauser era? I'm expecting a really poor start against the Guardians. And then is he finally going to be DFA'd? What do they do with him? Is he going to pitch in the bullpen? He just kind of sat out there for over 2 weeks now, and now he's getting a start.
Yeah, I mean, they have to ride with him for now. And it doesn't seem like Senga's going to be back anytime soon, obviously. So, yeah, Christian Scott, like if Budo figures out walking issues in the minors, he'll be back up.
How about David Peterson? Is he going to start rehab soon?
He's been doing his rehab, but I don't know when his rehab assignment's going to be. They said he was going to miss at least half the season because he had hip surgery. But David Peterson,
they saw enough in that one start to send. He's stuck in the minors now.
He just is what he is. He had a solid year last year in some spot starts, but he is what he is, and they know that. And if he has to eat some innings for them this year, then he will. But that's why they're keeping
around. They're probably saving Hauser because if they sell off at the trade deadline, they're actually going to need people to just pitch and get through the rest of the season.
They need someone to eat innings. They need someone to fill innings, and he's that guy right now.
If he can get out of the fourth inning,
What I was going to say about David Peterson is he really has only had success in 2022 when he didn't have a defined role. They were shuffling between AAA and the majors, and that's really, really tough. And he rose to the occasion. He pitched really well. The problem is obviously the injury. Now is pretty major. A hip injury for a pitcher is not great. And whenever he's been given a role in the rotation, like knowingly, like he struggled. He struggled last year. He struggled pretty much every year of his career. And he was a first round pick in 2017. You know what? That sets you back. So, and he's around my age.
He's a college. He pitched in college. Oregon.
I think he's about to be 29 in September. I want to say, I think he's the same grade as me, just a little older for our grade. Like I'm turning 28 Thursday. So,
Yeah, it was your happy birthday, Pat.
Thank you.
23rd, 1996 birthday.
Yep. Jeter's second month of his rookie season and the beginning of the Yankees. I was born in North Jersey at the beginning of the Yankees dynasty. And Kobe Bryant was a rookie. Ray Lewis was a rookie. Tiger Woods, I believe, won his first Masters or PGA as a real pro and not a junior. And yeah, crazy times. And here we are. So 27 might have been the longest year of my life, but we made
it. Well, Pat, I want to wish you the best in the next year of life. And you're going to kick it off down the Jersey Shore this weekend at DJ's. You're looking ready to go already. You got the guinea tea out there. So if there's any breaking news this weekend, Pat's probably going to be off the grid.
I'm sure I'll be talking to you guys plenty. Don't worry. You know, I don't tune out.
Pat and the DJ is listening to some Avicii, and he's going to be on the phone with Scott Boras. What's the latest on Alonzo?
Oh, more like I'll be on the phone with Nick Durst, Joe Calabrese, and Joe Najarian.
You'll be in person with Joe Calabrese. Hauser has had a good career as a reliever, just leaving there. I don't know. I think Hauser he's good for like a team that is going to win like 70 games. So that's pretty much the Mets.
Nick, you know what I should do? I should make Joe leave DJ's to go write a story, or make him write it on his phone at DJ's.
So Pat writes for Sports Illustrated, one of his writers, Joe Calabrese, who's been on the show with us
a hundred times.
I think Joe, you got to make sure Joe brings his laptop with you to your house. You guys have and make sure.
I'll bring mine. You better bring his.
All right, Pat. This has been great. Lots of fun. Thank you to all 260 people tuning in. Thanks to Yamed, who was brave enough to comment, and we appreciate that. Pat, let everybody know where they can find you on Twitter and your great articles as well.
Find me on Twitter and Instagram at Ragazzo Report, RAGAZZO Report. And then find my stories, Nick's stories, Joe and Joe's stories, and everyone, the rest of the team at SI.com/MLB/Mets and SI.com/MLB/Yankees. And our site's names right now are Inside the Pinstripes for Yankees, Inside the Mets for the Mets, of course. We probably are going to be rebranding in the near future, but I gave you the URLs and domains. And, find our work, read it, and we appreciate you guys.
All right, maybe some video action down the line with them. And if you want to meet Pat, he's going to be doing a meet and greet at the Hoboken Rumble coming up soon. So stay tuned.
No, at DJ's Friday with WFAN. I'll be there with Joe Calabrese.
Pat will be at DJ's on Friday at 6 a.m. So get there bright and early.
Maybe like 7:30 a.m., 8, but.
All right. Enjoy, guys. Enjoy. And that's going to do it here for this episode of Believe in the Mets. Before we go, make sure you are following Believe in the Mets on all social media platforms at BLEIVINTHEMETS. Yuki Matsui says, hey, thanks for joining us late. He lives in Hoboken. No joking. You got to meet up with Pat then. Follow Believe in the Mets, like and subscribe on YouTube, leave a great review. Follow me on Twitter at @Nick_Durst and on Instagram at Nick's Food and Stuff. And until next time, everybody, the only thing we can really do is hope for the best. And let's go, Mets.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code POD to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code POD at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code POD.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.